Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take your sources and insights and distill them into the knowledge you need to stay well informed.
That's right.
Today, we're plunging into a concept in artificial intelligence that's, well, it's rapidly reshaping how we work and innovate.
Yeah.
Agentic AI.
Yeah, it's a big one.
You shared some truly eye-opening material with us. A powerful speech that not only demonstrates this technology in action, but also explores its pretty profound implications for our professional lives, even our personal identities.
Exactly. Our mission today is to, you know, cut through the buzz. We want to clarify what agentic AI actually is, what it enables, and why grasping its potential is, well, it's absolutely crucial for anyone navigating the future of work.
Okay.
We're going to unpack some truly remarkable examples that show how this isn't just another tool, but a fundamental shift in how we approach problem solving and creation. So let's get into it.
Okay, let's unpack this. Mm. We hear a lot about AI, but what exactly makes agentic AI distinct?
Yeah.
Why should it capture our attention differently than, say, the AI most of us are familiar with? The speaker in our source material makes a pretty bold claim right at the top, stating that the most dangerous skill in the world is just coming up with an idea.
Yeah.
How does that connect to this new form of AI?
Well, what's truly fascinating here is that agentic AI moves beyond simply responding to a prompt and, you know, giving you an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it takes an idea and actively works to achieve a defined goal. It'll break down the task into smaller parts, make decisions along the way, and even deploy other AI tools or agents to complete those subtasks. All autonomously.
Autonomously.
Yeah. The speaker's story about the Wheaties box is a perfect sort of relatable illustration of this in action.
The Wheaties box.
Yeah.
Right. What was the deal with that? It sounded like a pretty unique souvenir.
It absolutely was. He had just received the souvenir after a keynote speech, a box of Wheaties cereal, but with his own face on it.
Okay.
Naturally, he thought it was quite the achievement, so he texted a photo to his mother. Her response. Classic. Mm-hmm. She asked if doctors were typically featured on Wheaties boxes and then quickly pivoted to inquire about his Netflix payments.
Oh, wow.
It highlighted this humorous, almost generational disconnect from his perceived success, you know?
Yeah, that disconnect really shows how transformative this tech seems to people really diving into it.
Yeah.
So what did the speaker then do with that initial simple idea of the Wheaties box?
Well, he decided, somewhat on a whim, to create an e-commerce site to sell these personalized Shan Kunga Wheaties. And this is where agentic AI steps in.
Okay.
Using an agentic tool called Lovable, he simply gave it the idea to create this e-commerce site.
Wait, he just gave it the idea, like the concept, and what happened?
That's the key, just the idea. Lovable, acting as an agent, took that concept and actually built 80% of a fully functional e-commerce website.
80%.
80%. And this wasn't just a mock-up. It included the design, the underlying code, and even generated an AI wizard to help customers personalize their preferred cereal bowl. For someone who spent his entire career in digital, he described it as remarkable.
That's incredible. I mean, this dramatically shortened path from conception to execution.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just about speed, is it? It feels like it redefines the very essence of entrepreneurship.
I think so.
For our listeners with creative ambitions or, you know, business challenges, does this mean the bottleneck shifts away from a technical execution or capital, maybe towards the entrepreneur's ability to spot truly novel problems,
mm-hmm.
knowing the AI can handle a lot of the build?
Precisely. It fundamentally changes the risk profile of innovation. You're not just getting suggestions anymore. You're getting actual working models or close to it.
Right.
This suggests that we can afford to fail faster, iterate more rapidly, and pivot with unprecedented agility. It empowers the individual with an idea in a way that just wasn't possible before.
The Wheaties box was impressive. Definitely a cool personal feat. But for a listener facing complex, sort of multifaceted business challenges, how did the speaker demonstrate agentic AI scaling up to orchestrate really significant work?
Yeah, this next example really illustrates the power of what he calls an orchestra of digital workers.
Orchestra. Okay.
He took on a real-world request for proposal, an RFP, for a website review from Coast Mountain College, and it had a firm deadline, May 15th.
Okay, a real deadline, real stakes. So instead of just drafting a proposal, the traditional approach, he actually decided to do the work using AI.
Exactly. Do the work first.
Tell us about the orchestra he assembled for this.
So he leveraged multiple AI agents. He used Manis, which is a Chinese startup AI agent designed for task completion.
Okay.
And Proxy, a London-based startup that not only crawls the web, but actually deploys its own agents.
Wait, an AI hiring other AIs?
Uh-huh. And he also brought in OpenAI's deep research function for additional well-sourced insights.
Okay, the idea of an AI hiring other AIs is, that's really mind-bending. For organizations grappling with resource allocation, what's the fundamental takeaway here regarding human roles in these automated workflows?
It's transformative. Each of those primary agents generated a 5,000-word report. But the truly remarkable part was Proxy, one of the initial agents, went a step further. It hired other agents, an AI technical analysis specialist, and a UX evaluation specialist to complete specific specialized parts of the work.
So delegated.
It delegated. The end result was a massive 10,000-word report, which he simply emailed to the procurement person, joking, please take the rest of the year off.
That's a powerful demonstration of efficiency, to say least. For those in traditional industries, what's the most immediate impact of these kinds of workflows? Does it fundamentally challenge how we even structure RFPs or how we define a project team?
I think it has to. It profoundly shifts the efficiency equation and the traditional value chain of professional services.
Right.
The speaker argues it would be governmental malpractice not to leverage AI like this before even issuing an RFP.
Hmm.
It's not about replacing people necessarily, but about fundamentally reevaluating where human effort is best placed. Many legacy processes, especially those involving that initial data-heavy analysis, are now ripe for complete reinvention, not just optimization.
Reinvention.
Yeah. It frees up human teams to focus on higher-level strategy, client relationships, or, you know, truly innovative problem-solving rather than the initial legwork.
This reevaluation certainly seems to extend deeply into creative tasks, too, and administrative ones. How did he demonstrate AI's potential to both replicate and innovate marketing campaigns?
Okay, so he took a screenshot of an Aritzia Instagram post, simple enough,
fed
it into Midjourney, an AI graphics tool. The AI not only generated its own description of the image, but then produced 16 entirely different versions of it with just one click.
16 versions.
Just like that. Just like that. He even turned one of them into a video. His wife's reaction to a potential discount code was pretty funny, though.
Oh, yeah.
She said, if the discount only covers PST, then it doesn't make a difference. Which, you know, hilariously reminds us that human decision-making, even around AI-generated content, still involves practical, real-world considerations.
Huh. True enough. And while it offers some amusing insights, what this truly showcases is a traumatic shift in the creative process, right? Instead of begin with the end in mind, he suggests we now build with the end in mind, generate tons of possibilities first, then refine. What does that mean for creative teams?
It changes the starting point entirely. I mean, traditionally, a campaign involves extensive planning, production, post-production.
Right, a long process.
Yeah. Now, a creative team can generate hundreds of versions as initial inspiration or even just to test concepts. It shifts the focus from perfect execution of one idea to the strategic selection and refinement of the best idea from a vast pool.
So AI becomes a creative accelerant.
Exactly, allowing for far more exploration before committing serious resources.
And it's not just visual content, is it? He also showed an AI agent trained on the CPABC website. What could that specialized agent do?
Right. This agent could answer highly detailed questions about the accounting profession in British Columbia, like the median compensation for a CPA. It correctly stated $131,000.
Wow. Specific.
Very specific. Or the 30-month timeline to become one. It could even translate the answer into Japanese.
Really?
Which led to another funny comment from his wife. You're a lot sexier in Japanese.
Okay.
But it demonstrates the power of these highly specialized multilingual AI agents to handle administrative queries with incredible detail and speed.
So if AI can take on so much,
yeah,
does speakers suggest we just need to upskill ourselves, just learn the new tools? Or is there something more fundamental required in our approach?
He makes a really powerful point here. With agentic AI, it's not simply about upskilling. It's more about unlearning.
Unlearning.
Yeah. You have to be willing to disrupt yourself. He encourages his clients to start from zero.
Start from zero. As in how?
It means reimagining your current processes, recruiting, onboarding, talent management, whatever, as if you were building them from scratch today with all the available tools and tech.
Okay.
Ask yourself, what would you eliminate? What would you automate? And, crucially, what would you make more human?
That's a fascinating exercise. And this concept of unlearning, of disrupting yourself, it leads us to perhaps the most profound implication of agentic AI, its impact on our identity.
Mm.
He shares a deeply personal story, doesn't he?
He does. He recounts how almost 17 years ago, his father, a kind tax accountant with 200 clients, passed away suddenly, April 19th. just before the critical April 30th tax deadline.
Oh, terrible timing.
Terrible. Though young and, you know, completely unprepared for the complexities of running a tax firm, the speaker bravely took over for 6 months. He found comfort and confidence wearing a tie daily. He called it his armor.
This armor.
A defense mechanism, really, to get through that incredibly traumatic period.
That's incredibly powerful. And through that experience, he learned that identity isn't fixed. It's more like an operating system.
Exactly. Malleable.
So to truly disrupt yourself, the speaker argues we have to confront these deeply ingrained professional identities we build up. Ask how much of our value is tied to tasks AI can now do, and what new value we need to cultivate.
Precisely. We often define ourselves by what we do, doctor, scientist, engineer, rather than who we are.
Mm-hmm.
But when agentic AI can potentially do, say, 40% of what a craftsman has done for 20 or 30 years, it inevitably impacts that identity. It means rethinking your core value proposition, and maybe the hardest part, being willing to let go of what made you successful in the past.
That makes perfect sense. Letting go is hard. Now, the ability of AI to remix existing knowledge, generate new content, it brings up a lot of questions, ethical ones. How did the speaker address the implications, especially around personal likeness and inherent bias?
Yeah, he definitely acknowledged that intellectual property laws are profoundly challenged by AI's remixing of existing knowledge.
Right.
AI, through pre-training, analyzes just vast amounts of human-collected information and infers new patterns, creating novel outputs. Now, innovation has always involved some form of remixing, but he stressed the clear need for regulation, especially to protect individuals' likeness and prevent malicious impersonation.
So government action needed there.
He felt strongly that governments must absolutely step in to protect individuals in that area.
And on the question of inherent bias in AI, particularly for professionals in sensitive fields like HR, what was his advice?
He was very clear. You can't. The information will be biased. Period.
Okay.
He pointed out that just as humans are biased, AI, having been trained on human collected data throughout history, will inevitably reflect those biases.
It makes sense.
So this means AI is never the solution in itself. It's just one data point, a powerful source of inspiration, yes, but one that demands our critical engagement.
So don't just trust it blindly.
Exactly. His advice was essentially trust nothing. Question AI outputs just as rigorously as you would any human source. For HR folks facing AI-generated fakes, voices, faces, resumes, he advised a return to old school practices.
Old school? Like what?
Meeting in person, shaking hands, looking people in the eye, asking questions without technology, mediating everything. It's a reminder that, you know, human connection and critical thinking become even more vital in an AI-driven world.
It sounds like no matter how advanced the tech gets, human discernment is still irreplaceable. Okay, so with all this agentic power and these profound shifts, are there any practical tools our listeners should be aware of to start exploring this themselves?
Absolutely. He mentioned a few key ones. Lovable, for turning ideas into apps, like the Wheaties box example.
Right.
Manus, an AI agent that can apparently get things done very thoroughly. OpenAI's deep research function, he recommended the pro version for that, says it excels at synthesizing tons of info into well-sourced insights.
Okay, deep research.
Midjourney, of course, for creating incredible images and graphics. And finally, Claude. Specifically Claude 3.7, which he praised as an exceptional writer.
Good list. And finally, a quirky but actually kind of profound thought from the speaker.
Yeah.
Should you thank AI?
Yeah, he advocates for saying please and thank you to AI, just like you would to Alexa or how you teach your kids to be polite.
Really?
He humorously suggested it might save you when Skynet finally becomes a reality. But, you know, beyond the humor, it speaks to cultivating a thoughtful relationship with these powerful new tools. Creating a society where we're not just demanding things, but engaging respectfully, even with technology. It's about how we choose to interact with the intelligence we create.
That's a great point. What an incredible deep dive into agentic AI. We've seen how it transforms abstract ideas into functional applications, orchestrates complex tasks with that orchestra of digital workers.
Yeah.
Completely reimagines creative workflows and even challenges our very identity. It's clear this isn't just about new tools. It's about a fundamental shift in how we approach problems, how we learn, and how we collaborate with technology itself.
Indeed. The future with agentic AI isn't just about upskilling, like we said. It's about the willingness to unlearn and disrupt yourself.
Right.
It requires a new level of critical thinking and understanding that AI is a powerful source of information and inspiration, but never the final solution. Human oversight, critical thinking, and the courage to redefine our own roles become paramount.
So our provocative thought for you to ponder today. If agentic AI is empowering us to build with the end in mind by generating countless possibilities right from the outset, how does this change the nature of your initial vision? And what new responsibilities does it place on you to define the best human outcome from all these rapidly generated possibilities?
Something to think about. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive.
We'll see you next time.